this season, in a year of firsts for Buffalo.
I'm gonna need some help out here.
I'm gonna fall here. Holy shit!
Cold!
The North gets slammed by the worst weather in decades.
They're saying it's the coldest winter in 22 years.
F*** sakes.
Brutal conditions test planes.
Don't touch anything.
What's going on here? We got everything?
And people.
My toes are actually hurt. Can't feel my fingers.
Okay, hang on.
Oh, when you hit 40 below, molecules don't hold hands no more and things break.
Split right in half. What tipped over?
The power unit.
Oh, for sakes.
As temperatures drop,
you know what? To come out and play them off.
Tempers flare.
Because I'm going to hit you.
It's my fault. I'm in charge of it. You turn the shit.
So am I.
And it's only going to get colder.
My face is freezing as we're speaking.
Before this winter is over.
Don't you want this job?
It's a big day at Buffalo Airways. The daily DC-3 passenger flight is loading up for the trip to Hay River.
Okay.
On the left, guys. That's probably the best experience.
With some special passengers, members of ARISS, amateur radio on the International Space Station.
Yeah, we got a full plane here tonight.
They're heading to link up with a Canadian icon, Commander Chris Hadfield, 400 kilometers above the planet.
So Hadfield was connecting with students all around the world, and it just happened that Hay River was on the short list and got chosen. I, you know, threw my hat in totally to go to my old high school.
And Mikey McBrien's going to do more than just handle the crew's transport.
There's the principal's office. Spent a few mini hours in there. Well, here's some grad classes. We got a handsome guy right there.
They've invited him to act as host.
Hey, Brinkley!
Connecting directly to Commander Hadfield himself.
You know, we're moments away now. ET's going to be phoning home. We're going to go check it out and see if we can hook up the space station.
Victor Kilo 4, Kilo Hotel Zulu. This is November Alpha, ISS, the space station. How do you read? Over.
Hello, Chris. This is Mike McBrien from Buffalo Air. I'm here in Diamond Jeunesse. We've got some kids here that are just waiting to ask you the best questions here. Here we go.
Knowing that you wanted to be an astronaut at an early age, how was school different for you?
School was the same, but I decided to be an astronaut, so I tried to learn things that would help me someday be an astronaut. Over.
Now we're actually talking to Commander Hadfield, who is honestly a Canadian rock star. Literally, he plays guitar in space. He can't really get bigger than that.
And you pop popcorn. Over.
No, we can't pop popcorn here. It would be such a mess in weightlessness.
What is your favorite place on Earth to look at from space?
The Bahamas, because the coral reefs are beautiful, every color of blue.
But this huge moment for Mikey and the kids can't last. The code appears on screen, telling them the space station is passing out of range.
73 to the ISS.
Thank you for all the great questions, everybody at Hay River. Best of luck to every one of you. That was fun. We got through a lot of questions. It was great. Good questions. And I talked to somebody named Mikey.
That day, you know, Buffalo's flying really high. We're the highest you can go without, maybe hitting the moon.
Thursday morning, back in Yellowknife, Buffalo is stuck firmly down on the ground. The entire hangar is feeling the first blast of the long, cold winter ahead.
Something so simple is so f***ing hard right now. Big clumps of ice, damn near impossible.
This morning, DC-4 co-pilot Tyler Sipos is clearing ice off a plane after 2 weeks of freezing rain.
Getting off 3 inches of snow. And it has to be the coldest day of this year, too.
Oy. And unlike the big airlines Tyler hopes to fly for, Buffalo has no de-icing truck. So, after 2 years working his way up, the co-pilot still has to clean the wings the hard way.
Holy shit. Holy, I don't effing wake you up in the morning.
And the morning is slipping away.
This is really f***ing awkward.
Right now it's around 11 o'clock. The airplane's about 2 hours late. Yeah, shitty situation, but there's always one a year. You know, every year, looking back, there's always one day where it's completely
taken out.
And it's only becoming more clear. Today is that day. Tyler's holdup is causing big problems for Chris Staples, Buffalo's new cargo manager.
I think right now it's about minus 24, and we're a little congested in the warehouse right now. Yeah, I was ready at 7 o'clock, you know. If it takes 3-4 hours to get the plane ready, then, you know, that's the way it goes, right?
Let that sit for a few.
23-year-old pilot Chris has wanted to fly since he was a little kid. Last year, Chris carted his girlfriend and baby daughter all the way from Victoria, B.C. on a whim.
I was hoping that if I came up here, you know, like I did, that they'd see that this person really wants the job. He's obviously really committed. He's worked this hard. He's come this far. Give him a shot.
Buffalo hired him as a rampy, then asked him to take over Kelly's old job running cargo.
If you keep dropping him like this here, you're going to end up outside.
The job she left when the stress and chaos became too much.
My head's going to f***ing explode now, man.
I can definitely see where Kelly's stress came from doing this job. And no matter what you do, you know, shit goes wrong, that's out of your control, you know.
Chris works pretty hard over in Food Mill. He's kind of running the show by himself.
I think it really shows, you know, my dedication to Buffalo, and it'd be a good opportunity to hopefully get a fast stepping stone in the C-46, so I figure if I can do this job well enough for long enough, it'll give me that opportunity.
Getting Chris's cargo airborne this morning depends on how fast Tyler can clear this plane of ice.
Holy f***ing ladder! F***ing stupid.
And he's got a whole new problem. An impatient boss.
Was it plugged in last night?
Yep.
Why didn't you put wing covers on yesterday?
It was full of snow, Joe.
I know, it was full of snow this morning, too.
Get all the yesterday to fix it.
What the f*** are wing covers gonna do? F***ing covered in snow.
Buffalo Joe's been flying the North for 50 years. He holds his crew responsible.
Nobody get in a hurry to get going. It's only 11 o'clock.
You're going to put 45 gallons of alcohol on this airplane for nothing.
And there are much bigger problems ahead for Tyler.
I'm going to fucking fall here.
For this plane and all of Buffalo.
Hook you up my ratchet.
What's that, an inch and an eighth, Chuck?
I think it's 1 inch. Well, the size of your penis, buddy.
The icy weather is creating maintenance headaches for ornery mechanic Chuck Adams. Chuck returned to Buffalo last year, but it's not because he was missing these aircraft.
Yeah, well, that lot was up to 100 million. This thing could win 100 million. We can buy all the old airplanes and destroy them.
The arrival of winter is already straining Buffalo's vintage planes, like the C-46 known as TXW.
Well, a lot of problems right now with all the strange weather is all this icing conditions we're flying in. Get ice built up on the wing, get cold air in the carburetor, build up ice. Somebody correct me on that.
The problem in the plane's other engine is so serious that the crew is replacing it.
We're going to have to push the bottom up. Keep doing that?
One more. Again. One more. Okay.
I'm in.
I'm so sick of looking at these airplanes. It's unreal.
Outside, the crew is still loading the DC-4, but Tyler has been sidelined by a fall from the icy wing.
It's a big gash. It probably went straight through. But, I don't know. Good thing it's cold out there, so it's all numb. I better get to the hospital for it.
The day is over for Tyler. And it could be over for the DC-4 as well.
Shredded out today. Got his shirt. Place of prop. We got four props. I can't let the airplane go.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
What?
We gotta upload it. Joe's shutting her down. We gotta upload this bitch.
Chris is keen to prove himself at Buffalo, so any setback is hard to take.
I got 20,000 pounds of this airplane I gotta get out, and I gotta stick it back in the warehouse. I don't have any room for this shit, that's why I'm shipping it out. Bust my ass at 4 o'clock in the morning? For what? For Joe to come and just shut her down. Anyway, some frustrated citizens of the communities today. Valley, so. And they don't care, right? They just want the freight. They don't care what our problems are. They just want to eat, you know?
The problems for Chris and the entire airline are just beginning. It's an early morning at the hangar.
Every time I look around, there's a couple more things that we have to do.
The DC-4 is thawed out, but Buffalo is running badly behind.
Fortunately, today everything's a little sloppy because we had to tear everything out of the airplane yesterday and a lot of stuff was taken apart and hand-bombed. So it's not the best looking load right now, but hopefully it'll look okay in the airplane. See what happens.
It's a day of catch-up for rookie cargo manager Chris.
Sending two airplanes today, so once I get this airplane loaded and out of here, I gotta come straight back here and start making a C-46 load, and I wanna get them out hopefully before lunch today. It's a big responsibility. You're in charge of quite a bit of revenue for the company and basically all the food up the valley, right? You know, if you f up, people don't eat, so, you know, that's that.
So you got about 2 feet.
Right now, the food for the four northern communities is already a day late.
Around you.
I got a bunch of a hemp on right now. Tell them just to shuttle them over to you, and then you just bring them into the plane.
The pileup of 2 days' worth of freight is going to make for two very full flights up the Mackenzie Valley.
Okay, run away before fall. Just waiting, making sure the weather's still cooperating, and then we're good to go. Oh, that was a swing and a miss. Try that again. There we go.
Co-pilot Graham Ferguson will fly alongside Chief Pilot Captain Justin Simley.
Gotta make some money, eh?
Hey, clear left and ahead.
After a long day of frustration, the pilots and mechanic Travis Dyson are finally on the way.
709, clear for takeoff, runway 16.
Clear takeoff 16 from Buffalo 709.
Today's run is bringing food and essential supplies to the four tiny, isolated communities strung along the Mackenzie Valley. After the delay, it all seems to be running smoothly now.
There was no issues. Made lots of power. There's nothing wrong.
But that's about to change.
Two's coming back.
Shortly after the first power reduction, the engine had a vibration and a little bit of backfiring.
What's going on there? What's going on here? We got everything? What's going on there, Trav? You see anything?
No. Your first reaction is just to throttle the engine back and assess the situation.
They have still checked that throttle and climb power there. Yeah.
No. No good.
Yeah, feel it shaking, didn't he?
Yeah, you can.
That's no good. That's gonna hurt her, man.
Yep.
Decided that there was probably a cylinder that had failed.
Bob, you keep an eye on that oil and quantity and oil pressure for me. We're gonna head back. We need to return for landing.
Knife Tower, Buffalo 5709. Mike 2, return to land.
Flight 5709, any assistance required.
Standby.
In a radial engine, magnetos generate the spark in the cylinder, or jug, and create the combustion driving the pistons. But if the cylinder cracks open, engine fluids can leak and ignite.
So I'll just go back and make sure that thing's not lit up on me.
Yep.
The crew's major concern right now is an engine fire.
You're spitting oil and fuel, and you still got the magneto sparking. So you got sparks flying everywhere, you got flammable liquid flying everywhere, and a hot engine. It's bad.
If there's any sign of fire or leaking oil, Justin will have to shut down the number two engine.
It looks like it's got a bit of a shake.
Yeah, we gotta jug it.
Yeah, that's all I can see.
They need to get back on the ground right away. And with the weight of a full load, the crew wants the power of all four engines for this landing, in case they need to abort and regain altitude.
Geared up.
Wheels are on their way.
So Justin's keeping number two running, with a careful eye out for any spark or sign of fire.
Trav, you just keep an eye on that. If it loses oil pressure or temperature.
115. Check. Secure 110, 109.
Yeah, reducing, huh?
105, 102.
They're going up. Not too bad.
Go to 137 ground.
The crew is down safely, but they're no farther ahead.
C'est la vie.
DC-4 is coming back as we speak.
So close, but yet so far.
Do we know what's wrong with this yet?
Nope, as you see.
Buffalo's already 2 days late. They need to get the food up the valley today.
How's the gales on two?
Well, nothing, fellow. This is good design.
Here you go. Oh, yeah, you can see it from here. It's split right in half.
Number six jug here has decided to crack.
This plane won't be going anywhere.
We'll get her unloaded again, load her back up, and fly her tomorrow.
Now I gotta take it all out. And somewhere I gotta find space for it.
Holy ground, dude. Well, we're not doing very good this week, Mike.
It's lunchtime now, and we haven't moved a single piece of freight. And for a cargo company, that's bad.
You know, after 2 days of trying to not get any further than 5 miles, we've already moved 80,000 pounds of freight. We haven't gone anywhere.
Now it's up to Mikey to figure out what to do with the DC-4 share of today's double delivery.
Your best bet would be getting that at 46 and test flight. And then go to the valley, that's what I mean. That's your best bet.
And then they'll have to do probably another valley tomorrow.
the food still needs to go. So we had TXW, which just got a fresh engine, and had to go up for a test flight.
It's going to be a long day.
Everything's going to work out the way you want it.
David Alexander is Buffalo's youngest co-pilot and one of the newest, with only 6 months behind the wheel of the C-46. He's joining Captain A.J. DeCoste to test fly the freshly overhauled plane.
And I count Buffalo 302 is thrown complete. Clear and left. Looks good and bright.
So long as the test flight was good, we were going to take it back and load it up and then head out.
Right now, I am praying to the C-46 gods. If this goes good.
The food delivery is on the line, and the mechanic who oversaw the engine change has a bad hunch about this flight.
I knew that morning when I came in, something in my head was telling me there was something wrong.
Buffalo 302 Tower, clear for takeoff runway 34.
Clear for takeoff 302.
Bob is going to make sure he's not shutting her down as soon as he rotates or something like that, right?
Just change that engine. So I just want to see what's going to happen here. I hope it all goes good.
I said it. I was out there watching it. I knew something was wrong. What do I tell somebody? Something's wrong?
So far, the new engine is doing its job.
We took off, climbed up to relatively high altitude.
Everything went well on the test flight. I mean, the engine, perfect.
Yay! I think in all our minds, everything was good.
And Chuck's still eager to know how the crew is doing.
I hope John did good. That's what I'm actually going to ask him. TXW maintenance.
Always trying to take it all on yourself?
Yeah.
I knew something was not right.
So I just want to see what's going to happen here. I hope it all goes good.
Chuck Adams has a bad feeling about the C-46 test flight in the air over Yellowknife.
I'm going to Valley's freaking Tuesday. It's freaking Friday's almost over. What if the jug blows on this thing? Holy
Cargo manager Chris Staples needs the test to go perfectly so he can ship out more of his badly backed up freight.
This has to go. Wouldn't be so bad if we didn't break it all up.
With the DC-4 down, Chris plans to send two C-46 loads. And he's scrambling to get them ready.
12,000 pounds off that corner on the other side.
The 1947-built DC-4 can hold 20,000 pounds. But the 46, constructed in 1944, maxes out at around just 13,000 pounds. So with operations manager Mike Dunn breathing down his neck, Chris will have to make some tough decisions.
What's priority on that floor that's stuck?
Basically all the bushes, because we haven't been there since Tuesday.
We got someone separating that floor load so we know what's going and what's not.
Okay, let's get her done then. Bullshit. Somebody is going to get some bad news today, that's for sure.
This is the first time that I've had to unload a plane twice at the same destination.
If shit happens, it's always on a fly, and it always happens big.
I think it's just been pouring bullshit all week, and the shovels around here aren't big enough to clean it up.
Their only solution right now is pinned on the success of TXW's test flight.
One way or another, I'm going to have two planes in the air today. Right now, the work is done for this flight. I'm going to go outside and see how they're at the 46, and hopefully they can be airborne soon.
He just has to rely on the hope that the second plane aces its test.
It's AJ's test flight takes W right now.
Yeah.
So I guess we're going to see what happens with that, and hopefully it's okay. What do you think? Do you think it'll be all right?
Should be all right.
Okay.
But out on the runway, there's an emergency. And Justin's just seen that the test flight has turned to disaster.
We got a 46 on one gear on the runway.
Oh, you're a kid. Oh, for f***ing sakes.
Just that visual, you see a very unnatural view of the C-46 with one wing right in the air and one wing in the snowbank.
We need an escort.
Everyone's desperate to get to the plane, but until Buffalo gets an official airport escort, they're all stuck.
Go to the fire hall, make sure everybody's okay.
Yeah.
This landing gear collapse has shocked and baffled everyone, and there's no word from the crew. Joe needs to know if they're okay.
You haven't heard? Did any of those guys have a cell phone on?
I tried, you know that's.
Where's Rod? Okay, I called Rod.
Take Mikey's truck and they can escort it.
I have one coming, Joe.
I gotta go get some maintenance people. We're gonna need a hand with this.
We're gonna need an airbag
or a crane.
Did you get a crane?
Okay. Chuck's hunch about a problem has been proven right. He wants to get to the crew.
The captain's my friend. He comes to me and asks me questions. He relies on me. That's why I went out there.
Bro, you want to hop in here?
Tell him I'm going to grab a truck and follow him.
Are you coming in here or what are you going to do?
Yeah, I got to get down here.
Didn't have any problems radioing him or anything like that? Just
I don't know. I haven't heard a thing.
I hope everybody's okay.
That's what really matters.
You know, it's that moment of helplessness. All these things are going through your head.
You know, it seems like whenever it rains around here, you get a f***ing prairie storm and it just doesn't stop. I don't know why shit like this keeps happening to us.
Buffalo's C-46 lies crippled on the Yellowknife runway, and Chief Pilot Justin Simley rushes to the scene, anxious to find out what went wrong and the condition of the crew on board.
At this point, we know nothing.
Back at the hangar, Buffalo preps for a major salvage mission.
We'll get a crane, lift up the wing, throw onto the jack, assess damage.
Cavalry heads out to bring back the plane. The engine and the wing are shredded.
Yeah, we'll go that way.
We got a lot of fuel in there, Rob.
But AJ and crew are all okay. The collapse happened after the plane had landed and slowed down.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Rod.
Oh yeah.
It was like stopped, eh? It just fell over.
We did a short field landing, very smooth, and used up very little runway. And after the landing was done, I called for the flaps up. We were only going maybe 30 or 40 miles an hour down the runway.
I thought it was a flat tire.
Yeah. Nothing was going.
No, it didn't sound any.
And all we hear is the wing scraping on the ground.
All of a sudden, it just started to veer to the right. And then this, what else could I say, right?
Yeah.
The accidents hit the young co-pilot hard.
He still seemed a little shaken.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never happened to me before, right? So, just
bit of a shock at the beginning, but I'm fine.
You always blame the co-pilot. I'm like, oh shit, you know? Maybe it was my fault, you know, what didn't I do? And I was just going over my head, like, I had a wheel, three green and amber, like, I don't understand, right?
Oh, he's keeping it together. See if he peed his pants there. Oh, he's good.
I had an instructor, and he said he got into a couple accidents before, and he said, if you can get up and go fly within the next 5 minutes, go ahead. And that'll really tell you that, you know, you'll be all right kind of thing.
Back at the hangar, the captain is getting right back on the horse.
It really wasn't violent or scary or anything. I feel bad, they got to go through all that stuff. But here we are getting ready to jump in AVO and go up the valley and get some groceries.
AJ's a trooper. I didn't even see AJ. He jumped off TXW, which is sideways on the runway, jumps in AVO within minutes.
AJ and Buffalo are pushing ahead with one of their cargo deliveries.
You gotta have respect for that, man. That's something else.
Everything looks good here. Roster is closed. Temperature and pressure.
Yeah, great.
Okay, buddy.
Clear takeoff runway 34.
Clear takeoff 34, center in the air, Buffalo 324 on the horn.
Hey, bottom up.
You bet.
Back down on the runway, the crew is trying to piece together exactly what happened.
When you see an airplane built in 1944 sitting on the side of the runway, you quickly assume it's the aging airplane's fault.
But even though the plane is 70 years old, the mechanics can't find any obvious cause.
Something would have to lift it. As soon as your weight of wheels are on, the pin is holding it from being able to lift. And pins it.
Yeah, and that lock is about this thick and it's about that wide.
Yeah. It is beyond us.
Your next thing is, was a pilot error. You know, I trust AJ and David when it comes to that airplane, and they say it's all good. So it's not the airplane's fault. It's not the pilot's fault.
Finally, a careful look under the wheel well reveals the smoking gun.
See it?
Sakes.
You know, we got enough problems with everything else rather than that can happen.
There's this yellow hammer that's sitting there. Like, what? How did that even happen?
Somehow, the hammer interfered with the gear's lock, but forward momentum exerted pressure to keep it extended. It was only when the plane slowed down that the pressure eased off, allowing the gear to buckle.
There's a bunch of bullshit with it. Take all the tools out. F***ing hammer jammed up the gear.
Did you see that?
Yeah. Never f***ing happened.
Amazingly, Buffalo Joe stays calm.
What do you think, Joe?
I don't know what to think. I think tomorrow.
The airplane's damaged. The deed is done. We're in recovery mode. The last thing anyone needs is anger.
The fact that a hammer left in the engine could even work its way into that exact position in the wheel well defies all odds.
Astronomical chances. But with aviation, everything is astronomical. Just Murphy's Law.
And the guy who oversaw the engine change is taking this mistake personally.
Can I take a step back and I'll stay here for 2 minutes?
Yep. Hammer was left in the wheel well. Simple as that. It's black and white. We could have a disaster out there. Let's just take a look at what entered the whole Concorde airplane. One little piece of metal this long, that wide.
We'll talk to Chuck if you're pretty bad.
I said, I'm sorry, guys, and he looked more hurt than us, pretty much. You could tell it really got to him at heart.
As soon as I seen it, I went over to Joe. Then I had to get the f*** out of there and go home.
Jack's friend here?
No, I think Roll wanted him to come in the side there.
Get Jack underneath it, and then we'll go under and try and get the gear down.
On the Yellowknife runway, the recovery crew preps to rescue Buffalo's crippled C-46.
The strategy is to swing it from its swing point at the engine mount, put the jack under it for safety, and then lock the gear down, tow it in. That's our plan.
They have to get the plan working in a hurry. The collapsed plane is blocking one of the airport's two runways. Plane is up.
No more. Why does it go up a little bit higher?
Let's pull it back to it.
But the gear won't lock down, and the plane will collapse again if they tow it now.
Yeah, right. We slam it.
Hang on for a second.
We're hitting the ground?
No, you're clear.
Every minute the 46 sits here means backed up traffic for the airport.
Okay, what we should do is get somebody up there. We should move, right?
Well, that's why.
Hang on.
Still gotta go.
That's what happened.
What are we doing here? That's what happened.
That's why.
We still gotta go some more yet,
though. Hammer. Yeah. It's not locked down yet. I'm just gonna bring it back and then slam it again.
Ready? Stop.
There we go.
It's locked now.
Now it's locked.
Locked?
Yeah.
One problem is solved. Now the crew can move the plane and get a better look at the damage.
Just the rear spar section there. Just work back.
Yeah.
Snap them. Lock them right out, eh?
Yeah.
Snap them right off.
It'll take days to fix the mangled wing, replace the engine, and get the 46 flying again.
So did you see what the problem was?
Yeah,
you did. I'm not going to comment. I'm going to let the powers that be comment.
Well, this is terrible. This is a day from hell. Nothing went right today. This is the first look I'm getting of it coming in, so. Hey, tough old girl.
The answer to tools left in an airplane is that you have a tool inventory program.
Yeah.
I didn't write shit down.
In Rod's office, Buffalo's management team meets to debrief.
How's Jack?
The mood is surprisingly calm.
I'm not sure if I'm talking about
now. My father, the one who's going to take the brunt of this, like, talk maybe $100,000 worth of damage. You would think he'd go crazy, but the only thing he was really worried about was Chuck at that point.
Mikey's here, he wants to speak to you.
Hey, Chucky, if you need anything, just let me know. Yeah, it's we got in front of the hangar, and it's all good. Plan is, the engine, pull the engine, the tip, but IQM, because it's got a blown jug, is going to be the priority right now. Okay, we'll see you then. Yeah, bye. All right, he's coming in tomorrow.
Is he?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As catastrophic as TXW looked, that wasn't our major problem. Our major problem is the DC-4. So Chuck said he'd be at work the next morning, which was Saturday, and work the weekend to get the DC-4 ready.
I'll talk to Chuck.
How's it doing?
Good.
He's going to be at work tomorrow.
Yeah, tell him he's got to come and change the jug in the floor.
The cracked cylinder has kept the four grounded, and after 2 days, Valley Freight is still clogging up the warehouse.
Wrecked one airplane. This one airplane's broken. That one's broken. Not a very productive day today. At this point right now, I'm not really sure how it could get any worse. It's about as worse as we need it to get.
What can I do?
Can't help.
Shit, yeah.
Chuck's back at work after yesterday's C-46 accident.
Might as well, eh? Can't sit at home and mope about it, that's for sure. Get back on the f***ing horses, right?
I went home and I cried, man.
Cried for a while and then went to bed.
Yesterday's C-46 gear collapse is still fresh in Chuck's mind. But Buffalo needs him and the DC-4 back on the job.
Well, she definitely split open.
I take a lot of pride to take care of this stuff. That's why Joel keeps me around.
Guys take their jobs pretty with pride. Things don't go right, they get pretty upset with themselves, but there's nothing you can really do once it's done. It's something you can't undo, so just go with it.
And Buffalo's welcoming Chuck back with open arms.
Give me a hammer.
Whereabouts would that be now?
Jesus. Oh my God.
Monday morning, the DC-4 is on the ramp, fixed and ready to roll. It's been 3 days of chaos and delay for Buffalo and for cargo manager Chris. Now the last of the backed up load is finally heading north.
That's it, man. All right, you guys have a good day. See you when you get back.
Do a good roundup on it, make sure it's good. It's all good.
Ready to go?
Ready to go.
Tower Buffalo 5713 is ready to go.
You know what? I don't want to speak too soon because they haven't taken off yet and they got that far last time. Once they're in our wells, then we can say, okay, we finally got our own.
Transponder is transponding 1200. Time is noted. Clear takeoff 34 for Buffalo 5713.
Everyone worked the weekend to get the DC-4 ready, so as something major like that happened, you gotta get back to it and get back to work.
We're already further than we made it on Friday, so.
For now, I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, hoping that the airplane is cooperative and the crew gets up there nice and safe and we get that throughout to the communities.
Yeah, hold on. Ready on the right? 30 inches set. Good. Nice
power
set.
Center space
line
69.
Fire wheel.
Fingers crossed.
Me too. Yeah.
Here's a transit.
Yeah, that feels good. That feels good.